Last night, I celebrated the Easter Vigil with Father Chaz, which this year, because Easter is on such a late date, it began later on in the evening, right? Because the sun goes down later. So we started the Easter Vigil at 9 p.m. And we finished the Easter Vigil just before midnight. We have 18 brothers and sisters who were either baptized last night or received into full communion of the church. It was awesome. Beautiful. It's the most beautiful liturgy of the whole year, the Easter Vigil from last night. And after midnight, we all gathered together in the parish center to share a little bit of bubbly and enjoy God's resurrection and God's new life. And after all was said and done, I finally got to bed at about 1:45 a.m. And as it so happened, I was the very lucky man who celebrated the 8 a.m. Mass today for Easter Sunday. So it's been a little bit of a long morning because I had the 8 a.m. Mass and the 10 a.m. Mass, and now I have the noon Mass. And that has been on fumes and adrenaline and no caffeine. So this is a miracle, what you're looking at right now. Yes, yes. If the brains in my wire start to cross, you'll know that my sentence not making any sense makes all sense in the world. Because I'm that tired. Okay, that was the joke. Okay, there you go. Okay. Easter Sunday tells such a specific and important story to us. The stories that we hear all throughout the scriptures, but especially the stories of the gospels, are speaking about things in our lives that pertain directly to the heart of things. They really get down underneath it all and just kind of hit us in the place where we really need to be illumined. Right? Jesus never stays on the surface of things. He sees the truth. Right, as the scriptures say, man looks at the appearance, but God sees in the heart. And the Easter story is a very specific, perhaps the most important of stories about the heart, about your heart, about my heart. And why is that? How does God reveal that? You know, it begins that we heard in the first reading of the Acts of the Apostles, where Peter comes up and he says this, look, man, everybody saw Jesus. Everyone saw this man minister for 3 years. It was in public that he came to preach. And it was in public that we watched him heal. It was before the eyes of us all that reconciliation occurred. Nobody can deny what happened. And yet this was the man who, for all of his goodness, was placed on a cross and died. And Peter says something so interesting and strange almost. He says this, and when Jesus, this man who died on the cross, rose from the dead, not everybody saw that. Everybody saw him do his ministry. It wasn't given to everyone to see his resurrection, but to us, we who were witnesses, we who were with him, we saw his resurrection. And God has commissioned us to come to you and to proclaim that he's alive. And that he has power over your sins. He has power over death. And that this power transforms the human heart. You see, where does the Easter story enter into except for the misery of the human condition and the struggle of the human condition and the frustration and the bewilderment and the grief of the human heart? That is the Easter story. That's the Easter story. Every Easter Sunday, if you come to Mass during the day, you're going to hear this account, St. John's account of the resurrection. However, on the Easter Vigil, what we celebrated last night, we hear a different gospel story. The same resurrection, but from one of the other gospel writers, and it switches each year from the Gospel of Matthew, the Gospel of Mark, and last night, we heard St. Luke's account of the resurrection. And it's a great sort of complementary story for the one that we heard today, because it also tells the story of Mary of Magdala and her friends, the women who accompanied Jesus. And it gives further insight and further details about this very thing, right? About the experience of the human heart in the midst of misery. And so let me read this for you. Last night we heard, at daybreak on the first day of the week, the women who had come from Galilee with Jesus took the spices that they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were puzzling over this, behold, two men in dazzling garments appeared to them. They were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. And they said to them, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but has been raised. Remember what he said to you while he was still in Galilee, that the Son of Man must be handed over to sinners and be crucified and rise on the third day." And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and announced all these things to the 11 and to all the others. The women were Mary Magdalene, Joanna, and Mary the mother of James. The others who accompanied them also told this to the apostles, but their story seemed like nonsense, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, bent down, and saw the burial cloths alone. Then he went home amazed at what had happened. So in this sort of second wrinkle of the story, this different look at the story, we get very important insight about our lives, and in particular, our lives when they experience suffering, grief, bewilderment, lack of understanding, heaviness of heart. You see, we all go through these kind of experiences, and it's those experiences that the Easter story has to speak into, because what occurs in our hearts when we experience suffering? When we experience suffering, we do the same things the apostles did. We look at goodness before us that was proclaimed to them by the women of Galilee. And the apostles who were in great grief said this about goodness: "No, that is nonsense. I don't believe that." In the midst of our grief in life, in the midst of our suffering in life, we look upon goodness and we say, "That's nonsense. That makes no sense whatsoever. Don't you see that I'm in grief? Can't you see my world?" Right, this is exactly what St. Paul is speaking about in the second reading to the Colossians. He says this: when we receive the transformative power of Jesus Christ, when that grace enters our hearts, our gaze turns earthward to heavenward. We no longer think of the things of the earth. We see all reality from the perspective of heaven. And this is exactly how Jesus walks into all of our lives. This is precisely why Jesus went to the cross for us, because Jesus sees the very same things that we see as humans in our poor condition, who very much know well the good that is to be attained, that we know ought to be there. And yet we stand over here in reality as it currently stands, and we notice this large gap between what is and what ought to be. And that gap is experienced in the heart by this word, suffering. Suffering, the distance between what ought to be and what is. And in that suffering, our hearts close in upon themselves earthward, so that when goodness is presented before us, we say, "I don't believe. I don't believe in that goodness because I don't understand. I don't get where I am." Jesus, who walked into the very sufferings that we walk into, desires to speak to us in that moment, because Jesus says, "I proclaim to you in this Easter joy, I have something good for you here." In the midst of our trials, in the midst of our tribulations, Jesus says, there's goodness here that I want to show you. And will you let me show you? And this is why the example, the story of Peter and his reaction is so profound and so courageous, right? Because he alone, of all the apostles in that moment, and of course his brother in the Lord, John the Evangelist, they do something different. Everyone says, I don't believe, I refuse. But Peter, what does Peter do? Peter rises up and he runs, because from the depth of his misery, and let's consider that misery, as he too watched his best friend do nothing but goodness for 3 years, and he watched Jesus preach joy and redemption and hope, and he watched this man heal, and he watched this man reconcile, he watched this man forgive sins, and for all of his goodness, what happened? They killed that man. Utter nonsense. Total bewilderment, total betrayal. His heart was in the depths of grief in that moment, just wondering how this injustice could come to be. And from the ashes of those depths, what happened in his heart when the women came to him and said, there is joy, there is something new here. Peter's heart cried out, what if? What if? What if this is true? Peter was the one who said in the midst of his grief, just maybe there's something. Peter's courage was to hope against all hope, right? Because he had nothing left in that moment. It was over, man. It was over. And he ran to the tomb. And in seeing the tomb empty, the gospel says he was amazed. He was amazed at what he saw. And he pondered something different on that morning, because he had the courage to believe the words of joy, even from his grief, even from his frustration, even from the bewilderment at the injustice that he saw, even in his lack of understanding. You see, you and I believe in a God who we never have to say to him, man, you don't know how I feel. You don't know what suffering is. Because Jesus says, I promise you I do. I promise you I know what it's like to be betrayed. I promise you I know what it's like to be abandoned. I promise you I know what it's like to be submitted before religious authorities who betray you. I know what that's like. I promise you I know what it's like to be beaten. I promise you I know what it's like to carry a heavy burden. I promise you I even know what it's like to die. I know how you feel. That is the story of Jesus going to the cross. And in rising from the dead, Jesus says this, and yet in the midst of your suffering, I offer to you this good news. I have my providence for you here. I have something of hope for you here. I have an answer for you here. And will you too, will your heart too rise up and say, what if, just what if, just maybe, is there hope beyond hope? You see, because that is the question of the human heart that transforms your entire life. That is the kind of hope that Jesus makes the promise will never disappoint us, ever. Because that is the hope that allows us to run to witness an event that is truly miraculous. Miraculous in such a way that all of that grief, all of that suffering, all of that hardship in our life does find meaning and purpose and actually is redeemed. In such a way that it not only has power then to save our souls, but gives us power to proclaim what God has done and bring forth faith in the lives of those around us who are also suffering, much like we do. You see, the Easter message is not for those who are happy and who have all the answers and who need nothing. The Easter message is for those in particular who are heavy burden. You know, and in here at St. John's in this family, this past year has been kind of one of those years for that. lot of us, a lot of our families here in the last year have experienced some very unexpected twists and turns in our own lives. Changes of health that we didn't anticipate. Dynamics in the family relationships that we never planned on. People who passed from this earth before their time. In the midst of all of that, even me, you look at these things and you say, God, why? I mean, is there not any other way? The mystery of suffering and evil. And Jesus in his mercy says, just believe. I have something good for you here. And will you let me show you how I want to heal you and raise you up from this place? He has power to do that because he is Lord of all things, including human suffering. Our prayer this day then is very simple, that we would simply have the courage of St. Peter, that we would be able to look upon whatever strife that we go through. Maybe we're going through that now. Maybe we've been down that road before. Maybe we know people in our lives who are going through that right now. Maybe we're suffering with them. Wherever it is, sooner or later, we all have this gap, and in that gap, Jesus says, just hope. Hope beyond your hope. Hear again this message, which is not spoken in general, but to you specifically, to you personally. That's my grace for you. You see, when we accept that message, when we run to the tomb, Jesus will amaze us. And he will give us the power to transform the world around us so that our gaze is not stuck here on what is not yet complete, on yet what does not satisfy, but that our gaze is heavenward into the eternal life that is to come for each of us.